Well, 3 weeks ago, I mentioned that three words, peace, hope, and joy, are just vitally important to the description of the birth of Jesus Christ. As we continue this series, The Times of Christmas, today I want us to look at a time of joy. A time of joy. We are going to see what the message of the angels to the shepherds teaches us today. How does joy come to us? And when do we experience this thing called joy? Once again, we need to make sure that we don't confuse happiness with joy, because happiness is temporary. Happiness can change within our lives like the direction of the wind can change. Joy, though, is something much, much deeper that lives within us. Even when we're having sad times in life, there can still be that inner joy that dwells within us. The world tries to seek joy, but in the wrong way, and instead they end up confusing happiness with joy. Well, our scripture this morning is found in Luke, the second chapter, and we begin this morning by looking at verse 8. We find there, it says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Well, first off, I want you to think about that joy lives in the routine. It lives in the routine. Just like Mary, once again, God chose the ordinary people, the humble, concerning the birth of his son. Shepherds, their occupation was considered the lowest of low on the occupation totem pole. The angel announced this birth of a king, but not to the high and mighty. The announcement wasn't made to the religious leaders. It wasn't made to the government leaders. Instead, this announcement is made to the lowest of low. And by making this birth centered around ordinary people, God is just emphasizing that this announcement is for all. But the shepherds received this most exciting announcement of all times in their daily routine of life. They weren't out doing something special on this day. They weren't heading to the temple for worship. They were not doing something extraordinary. They were just in their routine. As I mentioned at the Lord's Supper table, they were near Bethlehem. Bethlehem, known for its grazing areas around that small little village. It was known to be the place where the temple leaders kept their flocks down there. The shepherds would be hired by the temple to take care of these flocks, and these lambs would one day become the sacrifice in the temple itself, since Jerusalem was just 5 miles down the road. These shepherds received a message of joy in just the routine of their lives. They're going around about their daily activity. They're minding their own business, and then joy jumps into their lives. Tremendous joy arrives even as we are continuing through just the routine of life. Maybe we're busy at work, or maybe it's something at home. Maybe we're spending time with family. Or with friends. Maybe we're at church or are giving our time to help someone in need. And in the midst of this routine, joy comes our way. A couple weeks ago, Debbie and I had the privilege of working with others from our church at the Operation Christmas Child Processing Center in Columbia. Believe me, it's a busy 5 hours of work that you commit to. But at one point, I'm sitting there kind of scanning what's going on. Now, I was technically scanning with a scanner of the boxes, but I'm talking about scanning as in sight. And I'm looking around at our members here at Calvary and then the other people who were there working and fellowshipping together, some people from other states who were there. And I don't know what it was, but then all of a sudden in the midst of this, as I'm watching, working together with a purpose, fellowshipping together, I have this sense of joy just come over me. Nothing splashy, It wasn't anything extraordinary going on. It was just the routine of working and fellowshipping together. But joy arrived. See, you don't need to have an angelic visit to find joy. But we have this inner joy that God is in control. We have this inner joy that God does love us, that He cares about every single hair on our head. We have this joy in understanding this gift of forgiveness that we've been given for our lives through the sacrifice of Jesus, through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who comes out of Bethlehem for us. It doesn't take an angel to come our way. Because, see, we've been given a special bonus. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. We don't have to have the lambs taken to the temple anymore for sacrifice. We ourselves become the temple that holds the Holy Spirit now. And within this, He works in the routine of our lives, and joy springs our way. But our story continues with verse 9. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom He is pleased.'" We also find that joy lives in the message. It lives in the message. You know, people have unsuccessfully pursued joy in most every avenue imaginable. And what they found is usually some form of temporary happiness, but not true joy. Listen to how some people have sought joy in life and how they come up. And the people I'm going to show you, they're at the top of their game at what they were doing. And they tried to find joy in these different areas, but instead what they came up with was false avenues of joy. One of those is unbelief. There are people who think that you can find true joy in life by not believing in Jesus Christ. One of those is a gentleman by the name of Voltaire. Voltaire sought joy in his writings. He sought it in his philosophy of life. He thought he could find joy in social reforms. He admittedly, out front, said, "I just can't believe this Jesus Christ is the Son of God story. I can't believe that at all." But listen to what he eventually wrote about it all. He said, "I wish I had never been born." He sought all these things through unbelief to find joy. And in the end, he comes back and say, "I wish I had never been born." Now, other areas of false avenues of joy, one of them prevalent, I'm afraid, in many lives is pleasure. Trying to find joy through pleasure. Lord Byron, poet, he sought joy in his poetry. He sought joy in his aristocratic lifestyle. He was known for his excessive spending on pleasures in life. He was also known as a bit of a womanizer. He held excessive debt because of all these spending sprees that he went on. He sought joy in his pleasures. And then near the end, he wrote this. He said, "The worm, the canker, and grief are mine alone." Doesn't sound very joyous, does it? Pleasures. Somewhat tied to that is the other false avenue of joy, and it's money. Money. Jay Gould, American millionaire. Don't know if you know his name or not. He is believed to be about, like in the chart, about the ninth richest American ever. He made his money on the development of the railroad back in those days. He sought joy in his riches. But when dying, he said this, I suppose I am the most miserable man on earth. Ninth richest man in our country, in the history of our country. And he comes back and says, I'm the most miserable man on earth. He didn't find joy in his riches. Position and fame. You could also say power in this. Lord Beaconsfield, also known as Benjamin Disraeli, he sought joy in his politics. He was one of the Britain's most powerful prime ministers that they ever had. He sought it in the power of it all, his position, his politics of it all. And then he ended up writing this in old age. Youth is a mistake. Manhood is a struggle. Old age is a regret. Not a lot of joy in that statement either, is it? Another area to consider is military glory. Alexander the Great, he sought joy in controlling the world. By the time he's in his early 30s, he has conquered the known world. In his early 30s, he's conquered the known world. Having accomplished this great task, this man is found weeping in his tent and said this, there are no more worlds to conquer. Joy was not found in military glory. See, the world teaches us to find joy in these ways, whether it's through pleasures or money or power and fame or whatever the case may be. And these men that I just described, they worked hard at finding joy, and they all fell short. They looked in the wrong direction. On the other hand, the simple shepherds, they were given the keys to this message of true joy. Shepherds are out minding their own business when an angel appears with an announcement. The angel appeared with all the glory of the Lord, and the shepherds became terrified. What do you think? It's night. It's pitch dark. It's not like there's street lights out there. It's pitch dark, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, in the midst of the quiet, suddenly this Shekinah glory, as it's called, of God appears to them out of nowhere. This Shekinah glory is the same glory that Moses saw when he was up on Mount Sinai. This Shekinah glory is the same glory that the three disciples saw that day when Jesus was transfigured on that mountain. The angel told the shepherds not to fear. Well, it may have calmed them down some, but I can imagine their heart rates are up here. If any of us had received a message in such a way, we would be shaking too. Then the angel delivered the message. It says, I bring you good news of great joy. The term good news here is the exact word of gospel, what we translate gospel. The angels were bringing the gospel to the shepherds, and this message, it said, would bring great joy. I mentioned a few weeks ago, back in our Philippians series, that the Old Testament Hebrew version of this word good news or gospel is the word besorah. And besorah not only means good news and gospel, it means joy. But this good news, this message they receive, was not just for the Jews. The angels stipulate that this message is just for all people. This is a message for the whole world to receive. This message centers, they said, around three key words. Three key words are vital in this message of this baby who's born in this manger, and of the words Savior and Christ and Lord. Savior, the deliverer of the people from their sins. Oh, they were looking for a deliverer from Rome, but God knew what was most important, the biggest need in their lives, and it's to be delivered from their sins. So he sends a Savior to save them from their sins. And then the word Christ, the anointed one, the King of all, the promised Messiah, and Lord, one who owns all, one who has all power. In this child, this world would find a deliverer, a savior, an eternal king, and a Lord of all. The joyful message is not finished, because then we hear, and it's like they said, and shepherds, if my angelic presence is not enough to verify what is going on, go over to that little village of Bethlehem, and there you're going to find this baby that we've been describing, this baby who's born in a manger. And if the shepherds in their routine of life have not seen and heard enough, they had one more show. Because the scriptures say, and suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Wow, what a delivery system for this message. One angel then becomes a host of heavenly beings. The shepherds heard praise like had never been heard by human ears before. It was a message of peace. Now, it wasn't the peace like they talked about in that day, Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. This was not a peace that the government provides. The absence of war doesn't guarantee that you have the presence of peace. The Stoic philosopher by the name of Epictetus said this. He said, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns, more than even for outward peace. Now, what you need to understand is Epictetus is not a Christian by any stretch. Actually, he doesn't worship God at all. But even Epictetus understood that peace is an inward journey of finding joy. Life was difficult during those days. Taxes were high. Unemployment was high. Morals were slipping away. Military state was in control. Roman law, Greek philosophy, even the Jewish religion itself could not meet the needs of people's hearts. How are you seeking the joy that meets your heart, that you're needed in your heart? You know, the government's not going to provide it, folks. Not going to provide the joy for your life. It can only be found through this message. The shepherds were the first to hear the Christmas message. God sending his son. True joy lives in that message, but our story is not ended yet. Look at verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. We also find that joy lives in the sharing. It lives in the sharing. Some of you may remember something called a beta video cassette recorder. It was produced in the 1980s by the Sony Corporation. And it was certain when it came out that it was going to be the video recording process. But there was a Japanese company by the name of JVC. And they created a different format called the VHS format. JVC had a problem, though. They didn't have the clout or the exposure that the giant Sony had. So they knew it wasn't going to work out with them being David versus Goliath taking on the big company. So they did something quite unusual for businesses. they shared. They went to other companies and shared their process with the VHS. And what happened? VHS became less and less expensive, more and more popular. Sony, who started off controlling this industry, went from top dog down to just a 10% share in their beta systems, and finally, even Sony had to throw up the surrender flag and give up on beta and go with VHS. Of course, today the question is, what is a VHS and what is beta? But JVC shared. In many ways, it was their good news. They shared to make it grow. Our story, though, leads to something of greater importance to share. Greater importance, and definitely something that leads to greater joy. See, people have forgotten or don't even know about beta and VHS, but we still remember Jesus Christ. The shepherds left. They went into Bethlehem to see this child. The scripture said they hurried off. I can picture it now. A typical thing they would have done is take their robes and pull them up and tuck them in their belts so that they could move quickly. And so they moved quickly to Bethlehem. They arrive and they found things there just the way the angel said it was. There's Mary. There's Joseph. There's a young baby in a manger, and they shared their story with Mary and Joseph of what they had heard and seen. But it also says that they shared with all that they came upon. The message of Savior, Christ, Lord, peace, and that this message is for all. The shepherds became the first earthly good news messengers. They were the first gospel sharers. And then there's Mary. Young Mary. Young Mary who's been through quite a lot over the last 9 months. I mean, do you really think that she had thought that this baby was going to end up being born in a manger after the way this started with the announcement from an angel to her of who this child is, that she would end up having this baby and setting him in a manger? I doubt that. But the shepherds revealed what they saw to her. And we're told that she kept all she heard in her heart. In other words, she was kind of writing it down in her mental baby book. The shepherds now took on a whole new role. Oh, they'll still be shepherds. But after finding the baby, they shared the good news with others, glorifying and praising God. In essence, they took the place of the angels on that day, because they had a joy to share. They humbly returned to their duties, their routine, but they were never going to be the same. They had a joy to share. Joy lives in the sharing. Well, this same joy is the same that we have today to share. We don't need an angelic visit. We don't need a heavenly host choir. We have God's Spirit living in us to provide the joy like nothing else. And it's the same Spirit that took 30 plus years after this baby was born, took some timid disciples and turned those men around in such a way that they went out and turned the world right side up. Look again at the lessons from the shepherds and what do we take away from this? First, joy lives in the routine. You don't need to live the life of a star. You don't need to live the life of a millionaire to have joy. We shared earlier those joy failures, people who sought joy in every way possible but fell short. Joy can be found in your everyday experience. Every time you look at the stars at night and you see the wonders of the universe that are out there, you know that God is providing joy within you. Whenever you see a newborn baby and you see the blessing of new life, you know it is a miracle of God, and joy fills your heart. Whenever you have time with your family and spend time together, it provides memories that bring joy that God gives you. It's why on that day when we were at the Operation Christmas Child, and just all of a sudden this sense of joy, because it was a sense of family and fellowship and working together, and God just provides joy. Is Jesus in your life? Because if Jesus is in your life, wherever you go in this world, you can have joy. Joy also lives in the message. The same message that the angels delivered to the shepherds is for us also today. It is about a Savior. A Savior. Jesus' very name means Savior. God saves. Savior. Savior, one who delivers us from our sins. It is about the Christ, the anointed King, the Messiah, the one that's been promised from the beginning. It is about Lordship. The fact that Jesus has all things in his hands. And it is about peace. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace that God gives is so complete. It's so full. The scripture says it goes beyond our little logical minds, how we can comprehend that it even exists within us. But joy lives in the sharing. We have a story to share. In many ways, it's a two-part story. We have the story to share of Christ's saving act, his love for people, his reason for going to the cross to die for our sins, his resurrection that proved that he is God. But see, there's a second part to our sharing. And the second part of that sharing is, what difference does it make to our lives? How have our lives changed because of that story? What difference has Jesus made for you? That is the joy the world is waiting to hear you share. You know, the world can take this book and say, well, I just don't believe what it says is true. But you know one thing they can't do? They can't sit there and see a change in you and say, you didn't change. They can't go back on that one. Have you experienced the time of joy? Not the way the world tries to find joy, not in those manners, but the joy that comes because of the forgiveness of sin and Jesus' work on the cross. Only then can you find true joy. And as we come to this time of invitation, if you have not made that decision for Jesus, what a better time than do it during this Christmas season. Let's go to him now in prayer, and then we'll sing and have our time of invitation together. Lord, guide and lead us in this time. Open up our hearts to what you have to say to us. Father, we do. We try to find joy in so many different ways in this life, but every one of them is going to fall short of true joy. There'll just be a period of temporary happiness, but then, Father, it's not going to be that inner joy that only you can provide. Lord, I pray there's someone here who's never given their life to you, who's never made that choice to follow you, to come to you and seek forgiveness of their sins. And Lord, to understand that you will forgive if we come with humble hearts before you, because your Son died for us. Lord, guide us in this time of invitation. May your will be done. In Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.